God, we thank you for the beauty of this day. We thank you for the beauty of this place. And we thank you more than those things that you are the God who is here with us. And we ask that in this time, in your word, that you would powerfully, meaningfully speak to each and every one of us in a way that leads us into an encounter with you. Come and speak into our hearts, speak to our minds, speak into our lives right where we are, and also grow us as a community, even in this week that we share together. Give me grace and power that I might, as John the Baptist said, that I might decrease so that you would increase, Lord, because we are truly here to meet with you, the living God, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question for you that's not the question we just asked, but it's this. How would you define the good life? Don't answer for me. Just think about this. How would you define the good life, a flourishing life, an abundant life? What comes to your mind when you think about these kind of things? Maybe you remember the film It's a Wonderful Life, an oldie but a goodie, where the main character played by Jimmy Stewart, George Bailey, has this sense of giving up all of the pursuits that he wanted to do so he could come home and run the building and loan that was part of their family. And he gives up so much to serve his community, his family, and he comes to a crisis point in the midst of that story where he is under great pressure because of, you know, an opponent who wants to take over their town. And he walks out to a bridge one night, and he begins to feel like his life is meaningless. And he wonders, have I lived a good life? Have I entered into what's really a life worth living? And so, you know, he has this moment where his guardian angel, this is just a good moment to say, don't build your theology off of movies, even though they raise good questions. His guardian angel, Clarence, comes and then gives him an experience of what it would have been like in his town, in his family, if he had never been born. And he sees the impact he'd made on people's life. And so he comes back after all those experiences. The movie ends with him beginning to grasp that, you know, this is the title of the movie, it's a wonderful life that he's been given. There's a good life that he's experienced. And of course, the movie ends in a beautiful Hollywood fashion. The financial ruin is avoided. Everybody gives them such generosity because of who he is. How would you define what a good life is? And how would that definition shape your living in the midst of crisis moments? That's part of what I want to take us inside of today, as we're going to spend this week looking at a portion of Scripture known as the Beatitudes, which is the very beginning of Jesus' probably most famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And the way that Jesus begins this section of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 is with a series of statements that begin with this word blessed, or if you're feeling particularly religious, blessed. This word is Jesus telling us what the good life is all about. And what's really striking about this passage that we're going to just spend our time with this week is that Jesus names some things as blessed, as good, which we might not normally connect with what the good life is all about. And so what I want us to put in front of ourselves today is this definition of blessing. We're just going to spend the whole time here in this message today just talking about this word that appears in each and every one of the Beatitudes. If you have your Bibles electronically or in print, I'd invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, first book in our New Testaments, the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm actually just going to read what's happening here in these first 12 verses. It says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." Before I get into this, I just want to point out that Jesus has a huge crowd of people around him, and that there's a group who are closer, who are the disciples. This is before the selection of the 12 apostles, so this is a group of people that's bigger than the 12, that are some of them, there'll be names there that we would know, like Peter and John and others, and there's other people who are unnamed to us. And Jesus is doing something that is connecting with a theme in the Gospel of Matthew, that he is the new Moses. He is coming from God to bring teaching into the world that represents God's ways. And so he goes up on a mountain like Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. And he sits in the traditional position of authoritative teaching in the Jewish world, which would actually be to sit down. And then he begins to teach out of this position of authority. He's a new Moses who's speaking the words of God. He's greater than Moses. We know that. But this is what he said. Verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children or sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of God for us this morning. As we spend time in this passage, one of the things that is the most striking thing, I think, about what Jesus is beginning to open up for us and all those who heard him in that moment is that the blessed life, the goodness and the flourishing life in God is radically accessible to everybody, not based on their circumstances. Now, if you heard some of these things, some of the situations that Jesus is naming would be the exact opposite of what we would normally say, this is the good life. And Jesus is helping to reframe in a radical way what it means to really be blessed by God. If you were to go back in the scripture, some of the prevailing views in the Jewish mindset, and we see this in the book of Job, about what it means to be blessed would be all about the fact that if you have material prosperity, if your life is peaceful, if things just seem good and people think well of you, then that is the blessed life. But Jesus is reframing this around the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, in a way that opens things to those who might think they are on the outside of God's blessing. And this is really good news for us, because for us in this place, I'm just going to go out on a limb, some of us might feel like we are the people who are named in this, not necessarily at the greatest point of life. I would imagine some of us might be mourning. Today, I'm going to go back to Milwaukee, and I'm going to officiate at a funeral for our founding pastor, and it is going to be a time where people will be rejoicing that he's in the presence of God, and it's also going to be a time where there is going to be a lot of tears, I would imagine, that sort of holy gathering together of all that. But Jesus is telling us that even when you cry, there's blessing of God accessible. Even when you feel like there's a poverty of spirit, blessing is accessible. That word that is at the beginning of each one of these sentences, if you get really excited about the original Greek, it's a word called makarios, which means that the goodness is coming to you, flourishing is coming into your life, the full blessing of God is available. It's called the Beatitudes because that word makarios in the Latin translation, the Vulgate of the New Testament, is beatus, which means blessed, and so then it's talking about this blessed life. So beatitude just means that. Jesus is opening in the Sermon on the Mount a handbook on discipleship. What is discipleship? It's the life lived with God. It's a life given over to God through Jesus Christ to follow in God's ways as revealed in Jesus. Jesus as our Savior and Jesus also as the leader of our life. And so this book of Matthew in the very focus part of it in the Sermon on the Mount is really an introduction to what real life with God is all about. And Jesus is trying to instruct his disciples who are gathered around and also the crowds who are listening in on what it means to really live the good and the flourishing life. You probably heard this idea of the blessed life before. Think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of the evil, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Such sayings in the Bible, these sayings about the blessed life, they're aiming to put in front of people the ideal toward which we are seeking, and also the way that God meets us as we orient our lives around him. And now Jesus blessed statements in the Beatitudes, the Makarios statements here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, are putting before us a description of what the kingdom life really looks like, what the blessed life really looks like, and they're also, Jesus is at the same time, not just saying this is the definition, but this is something that we are also invited to aspire into, a truly fortunate, flourishing, happy, and blessed life with God. If you look just a little bit before this, in Matthew chapter 4, you'll see that the people who have gathered around Jesus are ordinary people. In fact, some of them are in circumstances like this. They are sick. They are poor. There are some who are suffering severe pain and various diseases. There are some who are afflicted by demons. There are some who are paralyzed. They're coming to Jesus because they know they have need. These are ordinary, everyday people. And we also know there's others who've gathered around who might not be in such dire circumstances, people who are fishermen like Peter and Andrew and James and John. There are others who are working for the government like Matthew, who's a tax collector. And there are on and on different sorts of people, just ordinary sorts of people who have gathered around. And the people who have come seeking healing from Jesus feel like they are on the outside. And Jesus is saying in a very strong way here in Matthew chapter 5, that's not the way it is. Let me turn you around. I want you to pay attention, Jesus saying, God's kingdom is not over there that you have to like achieve something to get into it. It is right here in our midst. This is the beginning of Jesus' message. The kingdom of God is at hand. God's goodness is at hand. God's blessing is at hand. Come on in and find your place. God is bringing future blessing, yes, but even now, God's blessing, God's goodness, God's grace is available to us. So Jesus is saying, come and live the blessed life right now unto eternity. So come back to the way maybe you answered that question in your head. What does it mean to live the good life? How do you define that? And think about, did you think about the good life being ease, material prosperity, good relationships, all going well? And just enter into the fact that Jesus is addressing a lot of ordinary people, not necessarily the hyper-religious always, or those who appear to have it all together, but Jesus is saying to ordinary people like you and me, God's goodness, God's blessing is available. Who are the ordinary people around us in our lives? Not just pastors and missionaries, but school teachers, homemakers, electricians, plumbers, hotel hosts behind desks, wealthy CEOs and investment bankers, bus drivers, door dashers, politicians of one persuasion to the other, park rangers, even camp staffers. But who are those who we think are on the outside, or we may struggle to feel like they don't deserve or can't access God's blessing? The homeless, the jobless, the addicted, the infertile, refugees, immigrants, on and on we could go. Jesus is standing in the middle of those statements and the things that may grip our mind, and he's saying, no matter where you are, the living God who exists, Yahweh, the God who is that we talk about, this God is accessible to us. And Jesus is saying that blessing of God's kingdom, the rule and the reign of God, is just a breath away from us because of who Jesus is. Blessing is available to all of these. Blessing is available. As a pastor, I have a chance to go into a lot of different places, and it's a huge privilege. I get to step into places a lot of people don't get to go. I get to walk into rooms where people are on their deathbed and stand with families as loved ones breathe their last breath. I get to officiate weddings and have the front row seat. Just a couple weeks ago, I had the chance to do that and just see as a couple looks deep into each other's eyes, and I can see the tears glistening in their eyes better than their parents can because I'm that close. I get to go out into, we were joking with the staff ahead of time, our church does all of our baptisms in Lake Michigan because we don't have a baptistry in our church. And so I get to go in the cool, refreshing waters of Lake Michigan in June when the water temperature is in the 50s and stand out there. We had 25 people baptized just 2 weeks ago. And I get to tell people, you're dead to sin. And then I plunge them under the water and say, and you're alive in Christ. And people give me hugs with their wet, cold hugs. It's amazing. I get to go into prisons and jails and sit and hear stories that I wish I'd never heard, but also so glad to be with people who God loves so much. It's a huge privilege to walk into these places, and each and every one of these places, as well as the ordinary things of our life, Jesus is saying, right here, right now, these are the places where God's blessing breaks in. It doesn't have to be somewhere else. You don't have to be in another circumstance. Jesus is telling us that there's an open door of accessibility to the blessing of God that is available through him. And part of what I'm trying to set up right now as we get into this week is just the idea that God wants to know us. The idea that God wants to change our lives and be present in our lives. The idea that right now as we sit in this place, the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, wants to know and relate with each and every one of us. I have this picture on my wall in my office. It's an old painting or icon of the Holy Trinity made by a Russian artist named Andrei Rublev, and it's a picture drawn from the story of the three angels sitting with Abraham and Sarah around their table. And the way that the icon is drawn is there's sort of a triangle of the three persons of the Trinity represented in these angels. And the way that they're sitting and the table, the way it's oriented, makes you feel like you have the invitation to sit at the other part of the table. And when I look at that, it reminds me that as I walk through my day, I am living in the presence of the triune God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, the reality in Jesus is that the gulf that we have experienced because of our wrongs and our sin that would separate us from a holy God who is now bridged in Jesus, that we might be brought into the very fellowship of the living God. The same closeness that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are now invited into that life. The love of God that holds the being of God together, the love of God that is always moving outward to create the beauty of the world that we're enjoying right now, that is all like God's great gift to us. The love of God that moves him to not stay in glory, but come in and strip off glory and become a servant and die on a cross for us. The love of God that reaches out to the least of these and to the greatest of these and invites everyone to come and find their place in God. That living God, that loving God is right now standing close to each and every one of us, inviting us in through the words of Jesus and the Beatitudes to find the good life, to find the blessed life. There is not anything that stands in the way of that, but our own decision to hold God back. The loving God is right here. Man, I just got to say something. My church is a multiracial church, and my church talks back to me. I'm going to need some help here this week, okay? I'm going to need an amen. I know I've got Liz Hacker who's going to give me, she's my amen corner, but I need you all to give me a little amen. I mean, the God of the universe, who is holy and awesome, has entered in that we might have life and goodness and blessing and love in him. That is good news. And I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know if you are on the heights of joy or if you are in a place that is really deep and dark and you don't know how to name it to somebody else around you, but I want to invite you to at least name it to God. And whether you're on the heights or in the depths, that God exists and is, as Jesus says, through John the Revelator in Revelation 3, he is standing at the door knocking, asking that you would let him in, that he could share a meal with you, that he could gather at the table of fellowship and communion with you and make his home in you, and you can make your home in God. This is good news. Jesus stands on the mountain. Actually, he sits on the mountain to teach with authority. And he says, all of you at the heights and the depths, all of you in the ins and the outs, you're blessed. God has entered in to bring blessing and life to you. And so my invitation for us this week is to hear the words of Jesus, and we're going to get into some of the very specifics that we might find in each footstep of our lives, each small place and in each great place, the power of God inviting us into blessing. And I think sometimes what happens as we think about this is we sometimes say in our minds, we hear Jesus saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the mourning, and we say, we're going to be blessed. or blessing is a possibility. But that's not what Jesus says. He just says it straight up. Blessed are you. So I want to give us just a little bit of a moment to just pause with God, if I could. I want to lead us into a moment of prayer. And then after that, the worship team is going to come up and lead us in song as a response to this. But would you be willing to just kind of quiet yourself down, close your eyes if you need to, or maybe you want to stare out into the beautiful woods behind me? And I want to just give us some space to bring our attention to God in prayer. I'm going to just ask us to talk with God around some circumstances. Where have we thought that it was impossible, either consciously or unconsciously, for God to be present with us or bring goodness to our lives? Where are we experiencing a sense of abandonment or fear or desolation? Where have we thought that our vocation isn't religious enough? Where are the relationships that are challenging us? The circumstances that feel like a trial? And I want to just invite us to quietly place these things into God's hands in prayer, just relinquishing any false sense of control, just letting go of any attempts to resolve it ourselves, and perhaps just relax into the trustworthy presence of the triune God who's present right here with us. Just give us a little space to do that. And amid those things that we are naming and maybe releasing to God, to in the stillness, as it says in Psalm 46, to be still and to know that the Lord is God. And to know that even in the challenges, even in the suffering, that God says he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That his blessing is for you. That all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus our Savior. Just rest in that reality for a moment right now. So, Lord, we just say to you that we love you. We are so grateful for you. And we ask and pray that you would lead us into the truly blessed life in ways that we have perhaps never quite experienced it before. Would you take us inside of that? Would you grow us in it? For the sake of your glory and for the blessing of our lives, we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said together, amen. God bless you, everybody.